It's difficult, and it's been difficult to find words to describe what this past week has been like for many people in Picton. I'm not sure if you took a stroll through town early in the week or if you spent some time, I know many of you have, helping people out. But it's hard to find the words to say when you meet someone who's just lost their home and all their possessions. You know, you can't very well say I understand, or I certainly can't because I've never had that experience. Can't really understand what's happened to someone who's lost everything that matters to them as they sift through not just, you know, furniture and things like that, but precious photos. I was speaking to someone at the back of their house yesterday, and he said he's found it quite difficult because there's been a lot of volunteers come in and he's on his own, and so it's hard for him to rush around saying, "Don't throw that out, don't throw that out." You know, the help's really valuable, but it's actually really difficult. And there's no words that can really match this situation. The great thing is actions speak louder than words, and there has been a lot of action in town, and that's been wonderful. But even actions, there have been people who, as I've volunteered, have turned me away just because it's too overwhelming to deal with and they can't handle trying to direct someone to help them sort out their stuff really is devastating. And I guess all we can do is make these offers of help, to do what we can, knowing that it will be limited, knowing that we can't do everything. It's been great to see the volunteers, as Peter said, the businesses, the politicians. Jai Rao has been everywhere this week, and Simon Landau as well, and many others. It's been great to see many in our community really do a great job to help with the cleanup. But we also just find ourselves with a lot of questions. And I guess as the dust settles, you know, there's a lot of questions to ask about why this happened, how this happened. There's practical questions about, you know, Charlie and others have told me this seems to be the biggest flood in living memory. What was different about this to last time? Was it something to do with the viaduct? Should we do something about that? Is it even possible to do something about that? All those questions roll around in your head, but I actually want to take some time this morning to reflect on deeper sort of metaphysical, is that the right word? Sort of deeper questions about why. Why would these sort of things happen at all? Why could God allow such suffering? Why would he let this happen? How can we understand it? If he really is our strength and refuge, why didn't he stop the storm? Now I'm going to pause and pray as we prepare to just think about that question together. Lord, thank you that you have spoken through your word, that you are our faithful God. In times like this, it's easy for us to shake our finger at you and ask why, and that's a fair enough response in many ways. We pray that we'd be able to do that with integrity, that we'd be able to search for answers, that we'd be able to not just sweep things under the carpet, but actually to really investigate what you're on about with this world and why things like this might happen. We pray you'd give us wisdom to understand the world around us so that we might know how to live well in it. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So how do we understand and make sense of a tragedy like this? I mean, it's not the only one, is it? We actually find that, you know, we'll recover from the floods and there'll be other things going on in town or other parts of the world, other tragedies that take place. Why do we live in a world like this and why does it happen? How can we understand it? Well, I want to propose to you perhaps we can understand these things as symptoms, symptoms of a broken world. 2 years ago, a good friend of mine, Joel, was experiencing really bad back pain and it increased over a period of time, and his doctor said, just take Nurofen. There doesn't seem to be anything wrong. Just take Nurofen. And over a period of months, the back pain didn't improve, and after a while he started getting stomach trouble, and he went to the doctor and the doctor said, well, you've been taking Nurofen probably a bit too long and that's causing the stomach pain. And it was only weeks after that that he was actually diagnosed with stomach and esophageal cancer. And it was only 6 months later that Joel sadly died, leaving his wife and three kids behind. Joel and I spent time together every week during those 6 months, and it was a terrible, terrible ordeal. But what had happened there was that there was a simple treating of the symptoms without delving or thinking or caring hard enough to see the underlying cause. And it's important for us in life to read the symptoms and look to understand the cause, isn't it? It's important for us to understand what's going on so we're not just putting band-aids on measles, but we're actually dealing with the disease. It was a terrible time spending time with Joel. But we do see sickness and suffering and hardship and disaster all around us in this world. And as we do, we shouldn't just pretend it away and let's just be happy and pretend those things don't happen. But we need to reflect on and understand our world properly to see what's happening. Of course, we do need to treat the symptoms, don't we? We do need to deal with what's in front of us at face value. Clean up our streets. Let's show love and compassion and care as we're able. Let's do the investigation of what caused the flood and fix the viaduct if we can, and all of those things. It's important for us to do those things. But what do you do when you have a symptom? Maybe a cough or a sniffle or a sore back or a rash. You look for the deeper cause. And as we look around this world, we see beauty and wonder. We see the greatness of the human spirit in response to this tragedy. But we also see brokenness and suffering, don't we? We also see looting and horrible behaviour. We see this sort of mixture. On the one hand, the beauty of God's creation, and we marvel at humanity, and on the other, the horror and frustration and brokenness of it all too. So why does there have to be so much suffering and frustration? People experience that the kind of big picture, local disaster end of things, but also in a relational way with broken relationships, sickness and tragedy that affects all of our families. And to investigate what's behind this all and how we're to approach it, I would actually want us to have a look at this passage from Mark 2 and how Jesus addresses these tragedies and deals with people with great compassion. So if you have a Bible there, you can open it up to Mark 2 and you'll see Jesus dealing with the crowds, essentially. You can understand Jesus was a popular man. He healed, he taught, he brought a great following. And on this particular day, so many people wanted to hear from Jesus, to listen to Jesus, that the room in the house was filled up to overflowing. People were standing around outside, poking their heads in through the windows. Everyone wanted to get a piece of Jesus. And the camera pans out to four desperate men outside, or five. They had brought their friend who was paralyzed, their friend dealing with tragedy, their friend needing to beg on the streets for food all his life, their friend who knows how long he hadn't been able to walk in this terrible situation. Out of desperation, they'd brought him to see Jesus because he was the one you came to for help. And they found crowds of people that they couldn't break through. They couldn't get through to Jesus. I picture kind of Malcolm Turnbull and Mike Baird with the media mob surrounding them last week. I don't know if you were there. But nobody could get in to speak to Jesus. And these four were particularly distraught because they brought their friend out of desperation thinking maybe Jesus can help him. And so they come up with a brilliant plan and they climb up on the roof and start to dig through the roof. This will get his attention and surely it will. You know, can you imagine, you know, the crumbling roof above us? Can you imagine, you know, dirt starting to fall on Joan's head? You know, she's dusting it off. And then all of a sudden a hole opens up and a man is lowered down on a mat. Now, I don't know how I'd respond to that situation. I'd probably be quite upset. What are you disrupting us for? What are you doing? I'm going to have to contact the council, that's for sure. But Jesus responds with compassion. As he does in all these situations, he responds with compassion. He sees someone's need and he wants to help and he wants to meet that need. Jesus is a man of love. But the way that he does it is really strange. It's really odd. The way Jesus reacts to this man as he's lowered down and everyone's wondering, what's he going to do? Jesus is so unpredictable. And the man looks up at Jesus and Jesus looks down at the man and he says something really strange. He says, "Son, your sins are forgiven." That's weird. That's really, really weird. If you were to ask that man what he was hoping Jesus would say, it would not be, "Your sins are forgiven." If you were to ask the friends why they brought this man all the way, why they made the enormous effort and risk to their own livelihood to climb up and ruin this guy's house by digging a hole in the roof and lowering him down, what were they hoping for? Not, "Son, your sins are forgiven. Get up and walk. Heal my legs." That's what he wants. Can't Jesus see that this man needs healing of his legs, not sins forgiven? Can't Jesus understand? Can't Jesus grasp what's really the problem? But Jesus does understand. And Jesus will show compassion. He will heal the man's legs. But as he looks at him, he understands the great tragedy. But he also sees beneath that a very real and deep problem that needs to be dealt with first. A prior issue, a deeper cause. And that's why he says, "Son, your sins are forgiven." What is that man's greatest need? What is your greatest need? What is mine? Sins forgiven. Compared to sins forgiven, it doesn't matter if he's never able to stand again. Compared to sins forgiven, it doesn't matter if he has to beg for food the rest of his life. Compared to sins forgiven, nothing really matters. Sin is when we live for ourselves instead of living for God, when we reject God, our maker and sustainer, and live our own way thinking that we know better. Jesus uses the example of a vine and branches. You can imagine, or even a tree. You know, imagine I'm a branch on hanging off a tree, right? I need that tree. It's my source of life and energy. And if I decide I'm such a clever branch, I don't need my tree anymore. I'm such a clever branch, I'm going to break myself off and I'm going to do my own independent thing. What's going to happen to me? I'm going to die. Disconnected from the tree, this little branch is just going to wither up. And that's a little bit of how we might understand our world. That in our striving for independence from God, because I want to do my own thing, I don't want to have to listen to him, we break ourselves off thinking I can do a better job on my own. I can do a better job being king of my own life, cut off from my creator, sustainer, do it my own way. But what we don't understand is that he is our very source of life. So that's what I want to propose to you as the deep cause to help us understand the brokenness of this world and the suffering and frustrations of our own lives, this problem of sin. And I'm not saying for a second that your house was flooded because you sinned, that there's a personal connection there, or that Picton was flooded because Picton sinned. It doesn't work like that. But because humanity has sinned and we each live our own way, the world is broken and things like this happen. They happened to happen in Picton this week, and I don't think we can draw too many conclusions about a direct connection to any particular events. But I think God is just pointing us back to the fact that there's a problem and we need to wake up and investigate the deeper cause. Now imagine laying there on the ground before Jesus. What do you want to ask him for? I think everybody here managed to walk in, so it probably won't be healing of my legs. It might be peace in the world. It might be a few more hours in the day. It might be the restoration of a difficult relationship. It could be all kinds of things. And Jesus doesn't want to trivialize those issues. Those are real, real issues and real struggles. But he also sees a greater need, the need for sins forgiven. If Jesus were to come and deal with your presenting issues, the symptoms that you happen to be facing right now, then he'd just be putting a band-aid on the measles, and other things would come in their place in time. But as Jesus deals with your sin by forgiving you and bringing you back into right relationship with God, he's reconnecting you with the source of life. And so by forgiving our sins, Jesus brings eternal life. Life forever in a new heavens and new earth where there will be no more mourning or pain or suffering. There will be no more tragedy and flooding and disaster and loss of possessions, because he will make a perfect new world. A wonderful new creation where we'll all live in perfect harmony and perfect obedience to God, our source of life. Jesus wants to forgive our sins and reconnect us with God, our Maker. So how do we respond to what's gone on in Picton this past week? Well, just like Jesus, we need to deal with great compassion on the people of our town and the situation we find before us. In love and care and concern, we need to give generously to those in need of our money, of our time, of our resources to help people get back on their feet. But in love, we must also be thinking deeper. Because standing behind the tragedy and brokenness of this world is a deeper cause. And so by sharing the good news of Jesus, I hope we can bring love and healing that will last all the way into eternity. His grace extends beyond the storm. Let me pray. Lord, we thank you so much for the wonderful community spirit we've experienced this past week. We are devastated by the storm and its impacts on so many people's lives and on our community last Sunday night. Lord, we don't understand why these things would happen. We're frustrated, sometimes we're angry. We don't get it, Lord. Help us to think deeply about these things. Help us to investigate the issues that Jesus speaks into of sin and forgiveness, that we might find hope and security in him that will weather any storm that might come our way. Because we are safe and secure in your love that can never be taken away, even into eternity. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.